apple cider vinegar. If you take one tablespoon a day, preferably two, that it can help control your appetite and manage weight gain, that it can help maintain healthy blood sugar levels and help maintain healthy cholesterol levels. So there is tons of science behind that.
Welcome to the Clean Body Podcast. I'm Lauren Kelly, a certified nutrition therapist and soon-to-be specialized holistic cancer coach with a certification in cancer biology from UC Berkeley. I am so grateful that you're here. This podcast introduces you to the souls and brains behind some of the cleanest food, beverage, and lifestyle products on the market. Because what you put on, in, and around your body matters. From cookies, bread, and mushroom superfoods, to adaptogenic lozenges, clean medicines, organic mattresses, and fluoride-free toothpastes, we'll explore how the brands came to be, how scientific studies drove decisions about ingredients and materials, and most importantly, how the products support all the physical and mental microscopic miracles that occur in your body every minute of every day. Thank you for being here. Let's get this started. Hello, welcome back for episode number 4. Today, we're talking about apple cider vinegar, as well as a couple other nutrient-packed and healthful products that I love and I suggest to pretty much all of my clients. Now, apple cider vinegar, just to give you some fun facts before we jump in, it dates as far back as 400 BC in ancient Greece when Hippocrates, the father of modern science, prescribed apple cider vinegar, or also known as ACV, and honey for ailments like colds and coughs. Now, there's tons of science that suggests it may help with other things as well. Manage blood sugar levels, help with diabetes, assist in weight loss, improve immunity, and more. Today, for this episode, I am speaking with Jennifer Santiago. She is the Director of Communications for Bragg, a leading producer for apple cider vinegar since 1918. If you're not familiar with the name, Bragg, you've most certainly seen the label at the grocery store. Aside from ACV, though, Bragg also makes nutritional yeast, which is a great source of protein, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, especially for vegans and vegetarians. We talk about liquid amino acids, which, as the name suggests, contain amino acids, the building blocks of cellular life. And it's also a great gluten-free, vegan-friendly alternative to soy sauce. And we also discuss cold-pressed, unfiltered, extra virgin olive oil, which, of course, is an awesome source of healthy fats that helps fuel cognitive and nervous system function. It helps increase nutrient absorption, reduce body inflammation, and when consumed from a high-quality brand, can also help improve heart health. With that being said, if you've never read about the adulteration of many of the olive oils currently on grocery store shelves, you don't want to miss this episode. It has to do with the Italian mafia, and it's pretty wild. During the next 60 minutes, Jennifer and I discuss prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics. Don't worry, we define all of those, as well as what to look out for when shopping for olive oils, why it's so important to buy unpasteurized apple cider vinegar, and how to properly consume apple cider vinegar so you don't experience any negative side effects. If you like this episode, do not forget to subscribe, give the podcast a rating, leave a review. You can also follow me on Instagram at Holistic Lauren Kelly, or you can follow the podcast at The Clean Body Project. Before we jump in here, Bragg is offering 15% off to all listeners of The Clean Body Podcast. Just use the code CLEANBODY15 at checkout. Okay, let's get to it. Welcome to the Clean Body Podcast, Jennifer. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing so good. So excited for this episode. Honestly, I was surprised that Bragg's responded to me because I've been using Bragg's forever, and it just seems like such a huge brand with such notoriety, especially in the apple cider vinegar industry. So I was just so excited to feature you guys on the podcast.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm excited to chat with you. And we're actually a pretty small team compared to what you'll probably think, which is a surprise for how long the brand's been around. But I think we're really trying to keep it, you know, we try to keep it small and talk to everyone and not leave anyone out.
Well, those are all good things, important things. Before we actually get to talking about Bragg's and the products that the company and the brand has, I would love to just hear about you a little bit, what your journey into the health and wellness world was and what your day-to-day responsibilities are for the business.
Yeah. So for me, I'm the director of brand and communication. So I really am focused on ensuring that we're taking a heritage brand into a modern world, that what we're calling modern nostalgia, and really trying to ensure that Bragg is keeping up with the times, but also staying true to its roots. So really overseeing all creative, all branding, all market, consumer marketing. So anything the consumer sees comes across my desk or came from my desk at some point. So it's, needless to say, very fun, but very busy.
So what was your journey into kind of the health and wellness world?
I mean, probably like most girls, I started reading magazines in high school and started reading about health and wellness. I think I would say high school is probably where I became more aware of my body and what, like, I never really paid attention to what size I ever wore, and I felt like that was the beginning of that. Like most women, we're always trying to be thinner or in shape, stronger, whatever it may be. And for me, that was the beginning of it. And it really escalated into college. I was much more aware of, you know, I was drinking matcha, well, like, you know, more than 10 years ago, before there was a cool matcha place that has like pink straws and a lip ball. And I think, you know, that kind of progressed. And I never really, I just always felt like if I feel good, like if I feel putting good things in, good is coming out. And it was actually about a couple years ago that I started breaking out at like 9 o'clock at night in these like horrific, huge, welting, like, I don't even, rashes, I guess you could say. It was like all over my body. And it was happening every night, like clockwork. And I went to like millions of doctors and everyone was just like, we don't really know what's wrong. You're clearly like having some sort of like pH balance off, or I was in a very stressful work environment. And I ended up going to a place called Parsley Health. It started in New York, but they had just opened an office in LA. At the time, they were really small. They're huge now. And they take a more holistic, functional wellness approach. And they were just like, your cortisol levels are through the roof. You're clearly very stressed out. Like, you should not be eating gluten. You have high inflammation. Like, even though I was eating healthy and like thinking I was doing all the right things, there were other things that I don't think people today don't realize affect you. Like, you could be eating perfectly. And I heard this doctor say once, like, you could eat perfectly, but like you could still, like if we opened you up, there still could be inflammation and problems that, you know, came from earlier in your life that you've never really depleted, et cetera. So I even took health and wellness to a whole other approach after that. Luckily, I stopped breaking out in these weird, very risen hives that were super uncomfortable. And I think in general, it just made me even more realize what I realized young, that so important what you do. And it's not just what you eat and drink every day. It's also like your mental health, your stress levels, like your environment that you're in, exposure to like cleaning supplies, chemicals, like all those things like still can affect you. And so that was sort of like my step two into it, was that, you know, I kind of took that first wave and then went into the second wave of getting even deeper into it. So I definitely meditate more now, do yoga more, try not, you know, I was running a lot, and running can be really stressful on your body. So trying to minimize as many stressful things. And that was just for me. Some people, it totally works. Some people it does. So that was kind of how I started. And I've only worked for healthy brands. So I've made that a mantra for me. Once I got into the food space, it was really important for me to work for a brand that was doing something healthier, and whether it was from pomegranates to pomegranate juice to, you know, pop chips, which was, you know, better for you chips. And now at Bragg, like always just really trying to work with people who I could get behind what they were doing.
That's great. I love Parsley Health. I've been such a big fan of them and what they do for such a long time. So that's really cool that you sought out help from them. And yeah, you're so right. It's all so interconnected. If you are chronically stressed, the things that that cortisol does to your body, I mean, it sends you into a fight or flight mode, right? So we haven't evolved to be able to deal with the kind of stress our modern society has. We had that fight or flight mode to run away from tigers and lions. And so when we're in that fight or flight mode and we are stressed, it's so that all the energy can go into our muscles and we can go into survival mode. And so our digestion stops, actually, you know, functioning properly, and all the energy is just going into survival. And that does over, if you have high cortisol levels for a long time, that's going to cause chronic inflammation, which causes your immune system to freak out, which can manifest on your skin. So yeah, I mean, I'm working with a client right now where it's the same thing. I look at her food diary and I'm like, you're eating great. Like there's no problems with your food and bev consumption. So we need to dig deeper here and talk about your emotional health and your mental health and just your day-to-day stress levels that could be impacting everything that's going on. So thank you for sharing that personal journey story with me. I think a lot of people can probably resonate in our overly stressed out world.
For sure. It's interesting that I felt like the modern I needed to go to a more holistic approach for myself because I had tried our Western side for so long. And not that Parsley is super Eastern, but it's an in-between. They're MDs who are doing wellness. So it's just, it's like you said, it's peeling back more than just like it's your emotional state. It's what's happening, like what's going on at work, what's going on in your personal life. So it's great to hear that I'm not the only one out there.
You are not. Yeah. And you want to figure out the root cause, right? You don't want to just take something that's going to make the rashes go away and you don't know whatever caused it. And so I'm always encouraging people to seek out integrative medical professionals because they typically have a modern medicine background, but they also bring in the holistic functional medicine aspects as well. Yeah. I even do that for my dogs. You know, they're getting older and I go see an integrative veterinarian, because there's just so many more things that play into health than we often give credit to. But Bragg, let's kind of transition over there. It is, I love that you call it modern nostalgia because it is an older brand. The founders aren't around anymore. And so it's up to you to keep their legacy going in a really authentic way that speaks to the heritage of the brand. What is, from your knowledge, what is some of the evolution that the brand itself has gone through?
Yeah, so this is actually great timing because I just was working on our timeline for our new website and I went through probably pages of historical information. So our brand was started by Paul Bragg and he opened the first like health food store in Los Angeles. And, you know, who would have, like in 1912, no one had internet, no one had anything. He probably was the first person, but from what we know. And that was truly a holistic approach that he learned through other people he had interacted with. Someone he knew had been injured and went into the plant-based diet and found that he felt better. And during this time period in our history, from the food history timeline, this was starting when some of the bigger brands that you see out there today, like Heinz and, you know, Aunt Jemima, like all of these processed foods were starting to come out. And they were actually from 1912 to, you know, probably the 40s, there was a time period of when they were actually promoting like eat potato chips, they're good for you, which we all know is not true. And like rant, like mayonnaise, like things like that. Like that was when food started evolving into this more processed space. And he was really had this mantra of like, you should be eating plant-based whole grains and maybe some fish, but he was mainly more plant-based. He was so against sugar, so against salt. Two products that we still have today that were in the original ones that he created were our liquid aminos. We still use the original formula that Paul created. And then our sprinkle, which is a no salt seasoning, which is great to put on like vegetables, eggs, whatever you want. Honestly, it's great. And, you know, Paul really brought that message on, and then Patricia took over and had continued that. But here, these two people were talking about fasting and like intermittent fasting, like in the 40s and 30s, well before it was cool. And now you have.
How did they know? How did they know?
I don't know. I mean, it's wild. They had, you know, a lot of it was, you know, like apple cider vinegar, for example, was, if you look at history, was said to be drinking by like Egyptians. And that same thing with olive oil, like Egyptians used olive oil for their face for a moisturizer. So a lot of it came sort of back to this like historical look at like how things progressed. And Paul was really into that. He was really into like what people were doing way back in the day. And it's just, you know, I've obviously, Paul passed away in like the 70s. Patricia took over the company, and just 2 years ago, she's still alive, but she's very much retired. She's 91, like, you know, 89, I guess, was the year to retire for her. And, you know, they just continued their mantra, and they were like, everyone will catch up to us someday. And we've tried to continue that message along the way with them as best we can. But it's hard because a lot of people use our products that aren't, you know, that aren't vegan or plant-based, but that's okay. We don't, you can use our products however you want, but we still are trying to stay true to our roots and what Paul and Patricia originally started.
Yeah, it's just really incredible because you say everyone will catch up to us eventually, but it's not catching up. It's just going back to what's been done for hundreds of thousands of years. And it just always blows my mind because they were using apple cider vinegar and they were using olive oil before they had the kind of science that we have, you know, and that they had the data to back up a reason. It was like an instinctual, intuitive feeling, gut feeling that drove them. I mean, I don't know. I haven't interviewed any people from, you know, AD, BC, or any of those generations. But it seems like it's just this like intuitive knowledge that so many of those like health gurus had in that time, because they didn't have the kind of science we have now. And even though we have the science, it gets ignored or reported incorrectly often.
Yeah. And a lot of that goes to like how people are reporting on health and, you know, the food pyramid scheme, as I call it. It's like, whoever, someday someone's going to tell me that sugar is good for you. And it's because sugar manufacturers probably paid enough money to get in that space. Like, it's just, it's same thing with like, you know, they were well beyond, they just knew this worked. And Paul actually was like a trainer, and Jack Leone is like a very famous bodybuilder from the 20s and 30s, and Paul actually trained him and had him living a plant-based diet. And it just, he just took his message to people. And I think it just wasn't mainstream. And there was no, like, there were newspapers and there were eventually television commercials and things like that. But they really were trying to get their message across to people as best they could, because they knew that it worked and they knew it was for the better.
So dig into the science of all of this then. I know, you know, Bragg, of course, has science to back up the claims that it makes. And I'm sure you often read studies about apple cider vinegar and its powers, and even liquid aminos. I have liquid aminos in my fridge right now. Actually, that's a lie. I just finished my bottle of liquid aminos, so I don't have it in my fridge right now. But what is some of the science behind the products that Bragg puts out?
Yeah, so in the food world, there are like health benefit claims, which you have to have enough substantiation behind to make. So for apple cider vinegar, the ones that we, you know, push against the most, because we have the most science behind, is that apple cider vinegar, if you take one tablespoon a day, preferably two, that it can help control your appetite and manage your manage weight gain, that it can help maintain healthy blood sugar levels and help maintain healthy cholesterol levels. So there is tons of science behind that. Obviously, acetic acid is actually what you want to be, is the benefit. It's where you're getting, it's the enzyme that you're getting all these benefits from. And, you know, if you are drinking pasteurized apple cider vinegar, they, you know, when you do pasteurization, you're basically taking those enzymes out. So you're not going to be able to get those benefits from it, which, you know, you want those benefits. So it's super important to always have organic, raw, and unpasteurized for your apple cider vinegar. And, you know, for us, just to kind of explain a little bit of it, is the blood sugar levels. So for example, take if you ate a donut and you were like, well, I know this is going to spike my blood sugar. You could have apple cider vinegar before or after, preferably after you have the donut, and your blood level sugar will not spike. It will actually help it even out. It basically prevents the starch from being absorbed. Doesn't mean you're not inherent. You still are drinking those calories, but your blood sugar won't spike. And obviously, as you know, when your blood sugar spikes, you then crash, and then you crave something more in that sugary, carby space because you're crashing and you want something to bring you back up. So it's this constant up and down. So what apple cider vinegar can do for blood sugar is really help maintain that so that you don't have those cravings afterwards, and that it helps level you out. And, you know, in general, all of our products that have apple cider vinegar, we make sure that the acetic acid is in it. A lot of people don't know, even with like supplements, that the acetic acid is really what you're looking for. Saying things like with the mother, or this is a pre or postbiotic, like, yes, the mother is important, but the acetic acid can still live there if it's unpasteurized and the mother isn't there. Like, the acetic acid lives through whatever process you might be doing to make that happen. But the acetic acid is what's most important. And I like to call it the good stuff. And, you know, there's acetic acid, and it's friendly bacteria is the best way also to describe it. It's like the fermentation process of apple cider vinegar. It is that it turns into this friendly bacteria, and obviously friendly bacteria is good for your gut. There are, you know, prebiotics serve as fuel for probiotics, which are beneficial bacteria that we do work in our gut. So there's, you know, a lot of conversation around apple cider vinegar having a lot of postbiotics in it. You know, we could go into a long conversation about pre, pro, and post, but I'm not a scientist, and, you know.
Well, but hold on. I've actually never even heard someone say postbiotic.
Yeah. So actually, postbiotics include the substance produced by the bacteria in the fermenting process. So it's a short chain fatty acids and functional proteins, as well as part of the bacteria left over after the process. So, such as like the cell walls, not to like get too sciencey, but think of postbiotic as the end result of probiotics work. And scientists believe some postbiotics act to maintain gut health and reduce inflammation.
Let's pause for a moment here. People get confused with prebiotics, probiotics, now there's postbiotics. There's just so many biotic terms out there. So let's break them down. Probiotics are the bacteria that live in our body. We have microbiomes throughout our entire human body, but specifically right now we're talking to the gut microbiome. So probiotics are the bacteria that live in that gut microbiome. Prebiotics are what that probiotic bacteria eats in order to sustain itself and to keep that delicate balance for our gut health. The postbiotics is the end byproduct of it eating. So I guess if you want to think about it in human terms, it's kind of like the bacteria's poop in your gut. but it's not gross. It's actually something called short-chain fatty acids, which are a main source of energy for the cells that line our colon, as well as protein chains called peptides, which are amino acids. As mentioned before, those are building blocks for our cells. They help repair skin, build muscle, and they may be easier for our body to absorb than protein that is consumed during a meal. Let's get back to it.
So there's still not a ton of information on postbiotics yet, but we've been talking with Dr. Jundry is a doctor who is a Bragg fan and knows Patricia pretty well, and just said he recently found a study that actually says that there's postbiotics are actually, you know, just as important as anything else. So there's going to be more information coming out about it more as we do more studies, but we'll definitely keep you posted. Some of the other things that postbiotics are in is like kimchi, sauerkraut, tempeh, yogurt, kefir, like
any of those fermented. Yeah. Any of those fermented type of foods. I was going to ask, does apple cider vinegar have any standout differences from the other products that are included in any list of, you know, if you Google fermented foods or fermented food sources, you always get the same list. And you pretty much just rattled it off. But does apple cider vinegar stand out from any of those other items that are usually on those lists?
It's definitely going to be, you know, the lower like there's no calories, there's no sugar, there's no carbs. So I would say it's definitely a more healthy and quick way to get those postbiotics before you obviously yogurt and some of these other things, you have to be mindful if there's sugar or, you know, your kimchi, like you're not really consuming that many calories, but it just is a simpler thing, you know, and it's just drinking a tablespoon or two with 8 ounces of water. You know, it's pretty quick and painless. But other than that, I would say all the other options are great as well.
I don't want to hit on it for too long, but like we've mentioned, Bragg has liquid and coconut aminos as well as nutritional yeast. And I'd love to just do like a high level dive on the health benefits of those products as well.
Yeah. So we actually just found some new information about nutritional yeast that shows that nutritional yeast actually can support your immune system. So we're really excited. That's something that we haven't really been able to share with. We had a sense that it was there. It helps with blood sugar levels. It also helps with cholesterol. It's also an excellent source of vitamins B6 and B12, gluten-free. It's a good source of protein. You're getting about 5 grams per serving. And it's just such a great cheese alternative that you could really put on anything. So the immune system, you're getting the natural occurring beta glucan fiber, which helps support a healthy immune system, is what we recently found out is in there. So that's something new that if you're having nutritional yeast daily or making vegan mac and cheese, like you're supporting so much of your body. You're getting protein, you're getting immune boosting, you're getting, you know, all these things. You're getting your B vitamins, which is super important if you're on a vegetarian or vegan diet. So that's on nutritional yeast, or what we call it in the office, nooch. And our coconut aminos is really just a soy-free, gluten-free, organic, non-GMO, alcohol-free, no MSG, 3-ingredient sort of alternative to soy sauce. So it's just organic coconut blossom nectar, apple cider vinegar, water, and sea salt. So super simple panel, really good tasting. If you're looking to, it's a little sweet. So obviously with coconut blossom nectar, you're going to get that sweetness from it. But if you are someone like I have family members who cannot have soy, if you're looking to replace that somehow, coconut aminos is the perfect product for you. And you can put it on veggies, stir fries, soups, dressings, marinades. Like you could do anything with it. You could really, it's a good replacement if you like tamari or Worcestershire sauce or soy sauces.
Yeah. Going back to nutritional yeast, it's also a complete protein. So this is something a lot of people are transitioning to plant-based diets or going predominantly plant-based, not eating as much meat throughout the week, either for dietary or ethical reasons. Same with vegan. And it can be really hard to get all the complete protein, the amino acids that your body needs to receive to function optimally. So nutritional yeast is a great option for boosting that, as well as seeds and nuts and all sorts of other things. But that's a great option. I actually do not put enough nutritional yeast on my food. I need to start doing that. Another one is, and I actually never knew this, Bragg makes extra virgin olive oil. And olive oil is kind of an interesting conversation because so much of the olive oils in America are mixed, you know, they're adulterated. They're mixed with other potentially refined vegetable oils, and you don't want those in your diet, and you don't even know that you're getting them from the olive oil you're buying off of the counter at the grocery store. So I'm curious how Bragg makes their olive oil.
Yeah. So I'd say olive oil is one of our more premium items because we are single sourced. So we get it from one place in Crete, Greece, and it's, you know, it's tested. We actually, the Olive Oil Council, you know, we send it in and it meets and exceeds their stringent quality and priority standards. So we not only know that it's 100% pure, but we know that it's meeting the quality and purity that they have set standards for, which is not, you know, a lot of companies don't send it into the International Olive Council, which is, you know, exactly what you're talking about. The other thing is we're unrefined and we're first cold pressed, I should say. So that means that the first press that you're getting out of an olive is actually the most nutritious. So our olive oil has like all the great benefits that olive oil gives you. Inflammation, you know, it helps with cholesterol, all these things. Like your olive oil has the highest quality of that because we're using the first cold press, which again is like a you know, is not a standard in the space. For the most part, I think it's mainly with Italian oils that you see the olive oil business. I think it was salt, fat, acid, heat. And there's actually like Italian mafia that have been running the oil business in Italy. And that's why a lot of it, they were obviously cutting it and then selling it to people in the US, telling them it was 100% Italian. So just something to be mindful of when you're buying your olive oils, that you really want to see single sourced, cold pressed, unrefined. And you want to make sure it's free of vegetable and seed oils. That's what the biggest fillers are, tend to be. And you also, it would be nice to see that they've been tested from the International Olive Oil Council. So we really have like a bright peppery flavor. And, you know, we have been trying to really continue that and also can potentially expand into other areas. But for now, we're just trying to make sure that we're always providing the best olive oil, because we think that that's super important because it's a staple in a lot of what Paul and Patricia have been doing for a while.
Yeah, that's so great. I will have to try your olive oil. I'm such a stickler for olive oil. I will shell out so much money for good olive oil. I think I also learned about the Italian mafia's control of the olive oil industry in a book called Feeding You Lies. I think that's where I originally learned about that. And it's pretty crazy to read about it.
It is. It's wild. And I think it makes it hard to be a brand as old as we are and have been around for so long to try for any olive oil brand. You're trying to convince people like, no, we're 100%. Like we promise, like this is, we can tell you exactly. At some point we're talking about putting the harvest code or the lock codes on there to just really emphasize on what our olive oil does and that it's really coming from this place, because that's super important. I think that people are starting to catch on to it more than they were before, but The other thing
is, it feels so hard though, because food labels are also, or not food labels, but big food brands are also catching on. And so they're creating packaging that just visually by the eye, you're like, oh, that looks healthy. I've heard people say that a million times. It looks healthy. And I'm like, uh-huh. Well, that's because brands know that you're trying to buy healthy. And so they're going to mask their products that you shouldn't buy in really pretty packaging.
Yes, marketing at its best, right? So I think that what the good thing to do is just do your research. I think definitely know that if it's in the ideal scenario for olive oil is to be in green glass. For obviously, you need to keep it at a cool temperature. You want to use it within the first 3 months that you open it, because the oxidation continually spoils it. And you know, if you're buying something that's in plastic or that's clear, it's not protecting the olive oil. So the transportation, by the time that you get it, it could be oxidized already. Mm. So just things to think about when you're purchasing olive oil in general. And yes, pretty packaging always sells, but just make sure that the olive oil is coming from the right place, because you could be having seed oil and you're not getting the benefits from it. And you'll be able to taste it. Like once you taste a really good olive oil, which I would recommend to taste it on its own, you cannot, like, there is no, you'll notice the difference now forever.
That's great. Those watch outs are really good and really helpful. And also olive oil tasting is like one of my favorite things in the world. are there any watch outs you have for apple cider vinegar? I know that you don't use any fillers or preservatives or emulsifiers in your product. Are there brands that do that, to your knowledge, that shoppers should look out for?
The only thing to look out for is pasteurized. So you never, if you want those benefits from ACV, don't buy pasteurized. Obviously, if you can find organic, you should definitely buy organic. But other than that, typically, you know, vinegar is vinegar. It's a fermented, it's basically an apple that's been fermented. That's sort of the process of it. And there's not a whole lot that you can fill, like there's water in there. And then you also really want to make sure there's 5% of acidity in it. So that means that there's actually enough acetic acid and acidity in it to be getting those benefits also. If you see, if they're not calling it out on there, it's likely more watered down than you want. So those are sort of the things that I would be mindful of when you're buying apple cider vinegar.
And is that called out right on the label, like on the front or back of the label?
We call it out on ours. We tell you it's 5%. So it should, they should talk about that, because you do want to know how acidic your product is.
And just for listeners who maybe don't know the difference between pasteurized and unpasteurized, in the pasteurized process, they're essentially heating up that product, right? It's bringing the product to a boiling point, essentially, that's actually killing those beneficial enzymes. So you're not getting the enzymes that you want, which really contribute to the health benefits of apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
Am I communicating that correctly?
Yes, exactly. It was perfect.
Let's pause for a second. I have defined enzymes in previous episodes, but in case you didn't hear that, we do mention it a couple more times. So enzymes are biological molecules that speed up the rate of the chemical reactions that happen within our bodies and within all of our cells. They are so important for life and all the functions that take place in our body, but especially digestion and metabolism. Metabolism is the process that occurs to break down what we eat and drink and turn it into energy so we can fuel ourselves throughout the whole day. Enzymes are also really important for digesting fat, converting starches into sugar, and breaking down those proteins that we eat during our meals. All of this is to contribute to that energy we feel throughout the day. Let's get back to it. Yeah, I always buy unpasteurized. I have to say though, you mentioned that you don't need to have the mother. As long as it's unpasteurized, it's okay. I think the apple cider vinegar with the mother is way more intense and hard to drink. Is that just me?
No, I honestly have never had. So I've been like a Bragg user without really knowing it for so long that I've only had our vinegar for the last like 15 years, which is another story. But just in general, like some things, like if they're staying with the mother, it just, there's the you know, it's the fermentation process. It's kind of like, I relate it to the SCOBY of GTs, you know, do you remember when GTs first launched and like you could see the SCOBY in there and now it's not even in there anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, it's similar to that. Like you're right. The acidity is going to be a little bit stronger. It doesn't mean you're not getting the same benefits. The true thing is to make sure that it's not pasteurized, because pasteurization would kill all the benefits, will kill the enzymes. So.
Okay, this is where we get to have fun, because I just remembered we talked about the psychology of people drinking apple cider vinegar when we chatted before making the podcast. And people believe that the stronger it burns, the more it hurts, the more discomfort they experience, the healthier it is. But that's kind of a myth, right?
Yes. Yeah, so this actually goes into, just in general, people in health and wellness feel like if it is burning, it is working. And
the grosser it tastes.
The grosser it tastes, the healthier it is for you. And that's not necessarily always true. I understand that going from potato chips to a kale chip is not going to be the same. But I do believe that with apple cider vinegar, we've had so many people taking it straight as a shot. And at the end of the day, you have to remember that this is super acidic compared to kombucha, anything else that you're drinking. So like, it's not great for your esophagus. It's not great for your tummy. It's not great for your teeth enamel. It is the reason why we point out the acidity is to tell you like, this is acidic. Please be careful. So we're trying to communicate that you really need to dilute the vinegar so you can have a more beneficial experience. We actually launched shots this year because people just kept taking shots and we were like, all right, we're going to give you a shot that's diluted with like carrot and ginger or ginger and turmeric, whatever it may be. We have four flavors and we're doing that to the people who want that quick burn, but we're still diluting it for you so that you can do it. But if you're a purist like me, the biggest thing is to dilute it with water and have it. I have it first thing in the morning and then I'll have it like after lunch and, you know, call it a day after that. And I don't know how or why, but like everyone at our company who does drink it says that it gives you energy. So like after lunch when you're full and you're kind of tired and you're, you know, you want to take a nap, but you can't, like that it can help you get through that afternoon slump.
I wonder if that's because of its impacts on blood sugar. You know, a lot of people after they eat lunch feel really like slow and lethargic, but it's probably, mm-hmm. it probably has to do with the way that it's enabling your body to break down the meal you just consumed and release the energy in like a really sustainable way so that you're not going through that like huge energy increase or like insulin increase in your bloodstream and then having a massive crash. Yeah. I don't know if that's scientifically sound, but I was like, how could that be possible that it's raising your energy levels?
I mean, it sounds, I think in general, I mean, even if you're not eating a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch, your blood sugar is still rising from whatever you're consuming, even if you're eating a salad. So I'm sure it just levels you out so that you don't have this huge spike and crash. Like, I think you're totally right. I think that there's, you know, it doesn't just apply to like starchy things. It also applies to food in general. So it does really help with that. And I've just felt in general, it's the first thing that I like to put in my body when I wake up besides water. So I just feel like it helps get my day going. And I do feel like I don't drink coffee, or I drink green tea occasionally, but that's like to me, my ritual of like coffee instead.
I have a big coffee right here that my husband delivered to me, but I haven't even drank half. So maybe there's that, you know, give myself some credit for some control. But I think that's a really interesting point around the relationship and habit you build with apple cider vinegar, because some people find it a very unenjoyable experience and it could be because of the way that they're consuming it. So for example, in my 20s, I was about every health trend and fad that you could possibly think of. And I used to take straight shots of apple cider vinegar and I felt like shit because, as you said, I wasn't diluting it and it's not supposed to be consumed in that way. So what are some suggestions you have for listeners about creating a a beneficial relationship with apple cider vinegar and forming a habit that makes them feel good and that they look forward to in the morning when they're going to have their apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, for me, I would say something super important, I'm sure you tell your clients this all the time, is when you wake up, you are dehydrated. You have not had anything to eat or drink for hours, and drinking water is so important. So if you can get in the sense of like putting some lemon and apple cider vinegar in it and with your water and try and drink like 8 to 16 ounces of water, you can dilute it as much as you want. It does not matter. You could put 32 ounces in there. The big thing is like, you don't want to be sipping it all day. You want to definitely have it within, like, just because it's not, again, like for your teeth. If you're like constantly putting acid on your teeth for like hours on end, it's better just to like have it in a sitting. Again, like I would say, if you can get into the habit of doing that, that's what I found was like, I know I need to drink water when I wake up, so why don't I just include this in there? And then it's sort of like my get to go. If you work out in the morning, I would say maybe wait till after you work out, because again, for as you experienced, it can be really harsh on your stomach, especially as you initially start drinking it. I would say if you've never had it before, baby steps, like do 1 tablespoon one day, like then you don't have to do it every day, like slowly go into it. Do not just start guzzling apple cider vinegar. Your stomach's going to eat you. It's acid. Your stomach's acidic. So, but it's good acid. It's the acid that you need to help you break down food and help you digest all those things. So I would say try and get into the habit of just being like, I know I'm going to need to drink water. Let me just include this in my water. And if you're at work and you can't have, no one carries around a bottle of apple cider vinegar. We have drinks that you could have that have, some of them have 0 calories, some are low calorie, like 40. We have 6 flavors. You could bring that with you and have that with your lunch. Same thing with the shot. Like if you're just too busy, you could just take the shots with you wherever you go. I always am mindful though that, you know, they do have carrot juice and ginger and lemon and like honey. So like, you just want to make sure you're not having too much sugar in the morning. Because again, even though you're drinking apple cider vinegar, you can still have a little bit of like a sugar rush from it. I am a purist, so I only drink our apple cider vinegar, but we also launched flavors of our apple cider vinegar to really help those people who are like, I just can't do it. Like, I'm never going to get used to this. So we made cranberry apple, citrus ginger, and orange tart cherry. And those, you have to do 2 tablespoons. And that literally tastes like a flavored beverage. So if you do 2 tablespoons and 16 ounces of water, it tastes like, or sparkling water, it just tastes like this really refreshing orange tart cherry drink. You like barely taste the apple cider vinegar. It's so good. I think it's such a good entry point for people. And then if you're needing the convenience, I mean, most of us are all home still. So hopefully you can just buy a bottle and slowly get into it. But if you're on the go, we have those convenient options for you as well.
What about putting your apple cider vinegar into hot beverages or food items? So is it the same thing as pasteurizing? Are you killing some of the enzymes when you pour it in hot tea or warm-up tea or even put it in soup?
Yeah, so great question. We get this a lot because people do like drinking it with hot, with lemon and other things. I would say the big thing is for tea, it's typically like 150 degrees where you drink tea. Like coffee needs to be about 180 because you have to get the coffee out of the, you have to drink, like that's how you get coffee out of the beans. So I would say that don't go above 150. If you are boiling your water to like, it is so hot, like there is a chance that you are going to be killing a lot of these enzymes. I always stick to like, put it with water that you could, is drinkable immediately. So like, don't make something that's so piping hot that you can't drink it right away. Like only do it to where it's warm enough that you can actually drink it. That's like my barometer. If you're going to burn your tongue, it probably means that some of the stuff is like your enzymes are not all in there probably.
Oh man. So I have
it out though.
I have this super healthy like detox soup that I always make, and I put apple cider vinegar and it goes into the Instapot, and it's probably just burning off all the benefits of the apple cider vinegar. Here I am. Like,
Not all of them, but some of them. We can't, what we haven't done and we should do is actually test how that, like what actually happens to the acetic acid, because that's all you really care about is if the acetic acid is still intact, then you're totally fine. But you're for sure, like the mother definitely can't survive high temperatures like that. But some of the acetic acid likely will. So it's not like it's you're pouring water into your soup. You're definitely still getting some benefits.
So the acetic acid is created during the fermentation process?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. I just wasn't like entirely sure if it's something that gets added to the process or if it's just a natural byproduct of fermentation.
The natural byproduct, it's just part of the fermentation process. It's just, that's what the acetobacter is just naturally inherently in there. And it's pretty stable. It doesn't like, you know, doesn't change, but you do want to make sure that you're, if you're not drinking straight ACV, that you're getting at least a tablespoon in there of it so that you can have that acetic acid. Because for example, other iodine, like products we've looked into, you know, with different temperatures, there are ones we've had to stay away from because it's too hot, but it doesn't mean that the acetic acid isn't in there. It just means that the mother isn't alive. So the mother gets killed, which sounds so weird. The mother.
I hate that they call it the mother, or it's not even the mother. It's just mother. It's apple cider vinegar with mother. And I'm like, what?
Yes. So the mother definitely is the fragile part. The acetic acid is actually more like can withstand most of that.
I think one other important question to ask before we kind of get to our wrap up quick hit questions is what's the maximum people should consume on a daily basis? Because I feel like when people start, they make a decision to transition to a health and wellness diet, they go like balls to the wall. And that's not always the best thing to do. So what would you say is the maximum consumption someone fairly new to apple cider vinegar should follow for a while?
So I would say start with one tablespoon a day with 8 ounces of water. It could be warm water with lemon, cayenne, whatever you want. Every other day. Don't do it every day. Then bring in, once you feel like your body's, do that for a week or two and then increase it to every day. And then, and sometimes it's hard to do it every day. I don't do it every day. I try to. Like during the week I do, but the weekends I'm like, oh, I didn't have my ACV today. That's okay. It's not going to, you're still, if you're drinking it a couple days a week, you're still going to see the benefits from it. And then I would say that once you're comfortable, once you like have brought that into a habit, you could go up to 2 to 3 tablespoons to 4 tablespoons a day. The big thing is you never, there is such a thing as too much acid. So you don't want to be drinking like a third a cup of ACV a day, which is a lot. That would be a lot of ACV. So I'm trying to do my math of tablespoons to third a cup, but just know that I would say four tablespoons is like heavy user. And obviously like, even if you had 4 tablespoons a day, you could still put in your salad dressing. You could still put it in recipes and, you know, and that would be okay. Cause it's diluted. It's mixed in with things. Like if you're making a salad for a bunch of people, like not everyone's getting a tablespoon worth of salad dressing on their salad. So like, it's okay. Like you can still, if you use it for meat, that's great. Like you can use it as a marinade, whatever it is. Like you can still use it in those cooking moments and still drink it every day and be okay.
That's great. Thank you for giving us those guidelines. Cause I definitely have been one of those people that's just like, I'll just drink the whole bottle. It'll be fine. Right. It's a healthy product. I can just overdo it. So I want to get to the quick hit questions. So the first one I have for you is what does a clean body mean to you?
Clean body means to me living a life of whole foods and light activity. And then also going into like trying to use clean products. Like I think that's the next space that from cleaning supplies to makeup. I think makeup's starting to get in the right direction with like Beauty Counter. And there's a lot more like vegan or you know, clean products out there than there ever were. And I think that the cleaning industry has started to see a rise. I've seen a lot of good stuff that says they're good. And then I do my work and I'm like, this isn't actually good. You can actually use apple cider vinegar as a cleaning agent if you want. A lot of our consumers use it as with just water, and they'll use it as like a multi-surface cleaner. It's like typical. It's probably what people were doing back in the day when they didn't have cleaning supplies. But yeah, to me, that's like having a holistic approach on life and listening to your body is to me having a clean body. Because if you're listening to your body and when it's screaming, like how mine was, the cleaning up of whatever it is you need to do will happen on its own.
Yeah, I love that you said it's not just like food and bev. It's all the skin and skincare products you use, or scalp care products, or even just the air fresheners you have around you. We've done some interviews with brands like that, but we definitely need to get some more cleaning brands on here, because inundating your nostrils with those chemicals on a daily basis is just not a great thing to do.
And even essential oils, like you have to be careful, because there's fragrance is the number one thing. So like, and people were like, well, of course I like things that smell nice.
Yeah. Second question for you. What are other diet and lifestyle habits that you just couldn't live without?
I definitely couldn't live without drinking my ACV every day. And I also drink an electrolyte called Elemental. They have a citrus salt, and it's the cleanest electrolyte out there. Again, just sort of helps me absorb that water that I'm trying to drink. And to me, it would probably be also just like movement. Like I have been a big runner in my life, been transitioned that to more Pilates and yoga these days, but just getting outside and being with nature in any way that I can. I could not. Obviously, quarantine was like not my fun zone, because being told to stay inside all day and not being able to, you know, it was a huge adjustment not to be able to go do those yoga classes I used to do and things like that. And I've sort of found my rhythm in it eventually, but it definitely was hard.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much science to prove that just going outside, even for 2 to 3 minutes, and mindfully taking in nature around you can have such great benefits on your mental health and your energy levels and just clarity and focus throughout the day. Nature is so important. So yeah, hopefully we're coming out of this dark hole of COVID pretty soon and we can all appreciate nature a little bit more after this, I think. Last quick hit question for you, which is one of my favorites, is what other brands are you loving on? You mentioned one, but are there any others? Yeah.
So Gold Thread is a really good brand. They are doing like elixirs for health and wellness. I personally like their matcha. Mm-hmm. They also have like a green mineral drink that's interesting. They just are kind of doing interesting things in the drink space. I really like this beauty brand called Merit that just launched, M-E-R-I-T. It's a vegan, clean beauty brand. The reason why I like it is because it's like the 5-minute makeup. So it's like, here's all the things that you need to just be ready in 5 minutes. And it comes with like a pouch on the go, super convenient. And then another brand that I think is doing something really interesting is a wine company called Aveline. And they're like a vegan, you know, along with many of like my hives, I had a really hard time I could have never been able to drink wine. I don't really drink as it is. And when I do, wine always felt like everyone drank wine. I live in California, like everyone drinks wine, but I had reactions to it. And it's the first wine I've ever been able to, not promoting drinking alcohol by any means, but it's the first wine I've been able to drink without any reaction. And it's because they have no chemicals, no additives, no sugar. So it's the first wine that is really a true good clean wine that you can actually, like people like me who've had reactions to sulfites and things like that, people don't realize, and this goes to your point of like, so many brands out there are filling things with additives so that you're tasting something. And wine is no different. Like The harvest changes every year, and those wineries want you to taste the same cab that you've liked for the last 5 years. So they add a bunch of stuff to it to make sure it tastes the same every year. So just something else that even if you are going to drink alcohol in any way, like you should definitely be making sure that it's clean, because some of them aren't, especially in the wine business. But
yeah, stay away from Four Buck Chuck. It's just like not worth it. But to wrap this up, how can people get in touch with Bragg? How can they find your products, engage with you on social media?
Yeah, so we are at Bragg on Instagram, at Bragg Life Foods on Facebook. We are at Bragg Life Foods on Twitter as well. We are, you know, find us anywhere there. Our products are on Amazon. We also have our own website where we're going to be selling. We're redoing it in May, so it will be a whole new website in May. But find our products there. If you don't want to buy from Amazon or our website, we have a great store locator on our website that can help you. You should not have a problem finding ACV anywhere in our country. You can even find it in like the UK and Australia. People are really big fans all over.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I'll put all those links in the show notes so people can find the store locator. They can find the Amazon page. I'm excited to see the new website. That's exciting. But thank you so much for joining us today. I've, like you, been using Bragg for so long, and I'm happy to create more of an emotional connection and relationship with the brand. So I just appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, everyone. I hope you loved that interview. Don't forget, Bragg is offering 15% off to the Clean Body Podcast listeners. Just go to bragg.com, that's BRAGG.com, and type in CleanBody15 at checkout to get the discount. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care from a doctor or otherwise qualified health professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it is not a replacement for medical or other health-related services. If you are looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified practitioner. See you next week.